Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version. So then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday, July 1st. I'm sorry. This is going to sound really mean. It's not personal, okay? But can you imagine being sort of less enthused about anything than hearing that your favorite team is hiring Rick Bonus? Like, can you imagine being sort of less excited about a thing, like a fairly significant thing than that?
You're like from the standpoint of being a Winnipeg Jets fan, or
yeah,
just in general?
Yeah, okay. from that, I mean, it's an eye roll. All these coaches almost are. Like, all these DeBoer and these guys that just get job after job after job. There's just no one else who can do it. These teams are so addle-minded. They have to have coaches that, what? Like, Rick Bonus?
Does it make it worse that he was the coach 33 years ago?
Yeah,
it'd be like
does.
If the Sabres hired whoever.
Ted Sater was the Sabres coach 33 years ago. And I don't know if he's been in hockey or what. I think he's still
okay.
Living. But yes, because like it's such an easy mark, right? What are you doing? Oh, we're going to try to recreate the 89 Jets? Who the bleep are the 89 Jets? I mean, just like, what? Why would you want to do that? Hey, I don't know. What do I really mean? Does the guy have these amazing systems and unbelievable motivator, this kind of stuff? Probably not, but I don't know that for sure. It's just like, oh, what a sort of letdown. It's exciting when your team needs a new coach, I think. It's not always what you want. It's exciting, though, because you think of the possibilities. We've had lots of these, of course. We've had lots of these. Think of the possibilities. We think of the possibilities sometimes when there isn't a vacancy. Like, we're talking about Bruce Boudreau. The Sabres had a coach when we were talking about Bruce Boudreau. What, was that last year? Or before the end of last season? Like, we were talking about that. I don't like doing that very many times, but they were in such a state of transition that it seemed appropriate to do that. Somebody has the job, I want to respect that. But it's exciting when you're in that, when you're in the market, you know? And then you get a guy that's just been around forever. And, I mean, is he interesting at all? How often are his teams good? I think of Rick Bonus as the Bruins coach. And that's like the early 90s, right? That's mid-90s. Burns was the Bruins coach when the Sabres played them in the playoffs. That's 99.
He was the Bruins coach for 1 year, 91-92.
1 year, and that's who I put him on?
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of teams. Islanders, Dallas, you said?
Ottawa from 92 to 96.
Original Ottawa coach then.
Okay, yeah. He was
That's the worst team of all time, almost.
Yeah.
It's an expansion team. You can't blame him, but.
He had 24 points in 84 games.
24-point season.
And then he followed it up with 37 points in 84 games.
And then he followed it up with three more years. This guy has some sort of magic touch.
I don't know what's going on, though, here. Like, shortened season in 95? 48 games? Okay,
yes.
48 games, he had 23 points. So that's a 46-point pace-ish. And then 12 points in 19 games, and he was finally fired.
They gave it almost 5 years.
Yeah. And then the Islanders, and he missed the playoffs twice. Then the Coyotes, he got fired after a 2-15 start. 2-17 start.
Yeah, can't forget those overtime losses.
Dallas, I mean, I guess where has it worked? He made the playoffs one time in like a 30-year tenure as an NHL head coach, but then he made it to the Cup Finals in Dallas, and then that got him probably a second job or a fifth job.
Which,
or
how in the world do you land there? That when the Lightning hired Barry Melrose, you know,
the second time,
the Lightning,
he like returned. Oh, okay, never mind. I remember him being hired back there, like recently, like maybe 10 years ago, and it only lasting like 30 games.
Yeah, I don't think he'd been there before. He was the Kings coach.
Oh, okay,
with
that's
Gretzky,
right.
But like when the Lightning hired Barry Melrose, that was different, at least, and probably likely to fail, and it did, you know, sharply, but at least you could talk about it in an interesting way. At least it was something, oh, wow, maybe there's something there. It's different. He was not, like, brought in from another profession or something like that exactly, but it was something different that might, you know, you might want to try it. You could at least defend it for that. This, I can't defend for anything. And I'm just sick of these teams who, for some reason, feel like I'm thinking of Travis Yost. Just Travis, this is a problem for him, too. And he says 40 people, I think. So I don't want to sound like I'm ignoring the fact that I've read this from him a lot. It is how I feel. I mean, it's like 40 guys who are physically capable of being NHL coaches. No one else. I like that the Sabres went, and the Sabres have gone, if you will, off the board a few times here. I mean, Granato was here already and had all kinds of experience, but it wasn't like NHL retread head coaching experience. He'd never had the job before. Kruger had done it once and had been in soccer and just different, sort of a different world. And that was, I respected that. I thought it was kind of a creative idea. And he had a good reputation with players. Phil Housley, I really never liked that, because that just reeked of your team made the lucky playoff run and you played for the Sabres. Like, that was just what I was not, I did not have high hopes there at all. You know, who else? Nolan at his time, the first time, I guess the second time too, was like sort of a, who's this guy, you know? And the first time we didn't really know that much about him. The second time we did, and it was still sort of a stunner. I mean, I'll give them credit for that. The Sabres have not really been, somehow they've avoided a lot of these guys. All these guys who are the Sabres have been through lots of coaches in the last decade, but somehow they've avoided all these guys who are cycling around the league this year.
Right, like Bylsma is the only like real like retread guy that had.
Yeah. How many Sabres coaches, like starting with Lindy or starting with, Nolan, before Lindy, were head coaches in the league before, or for very long? Bylsma was. He was not there a long time, but they won, and we knew about him.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan the second time, if you want to count that. And he also did coach the Islanders in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Kruger.
Kruger. Rolston didn't have a job before or after.
Right. Kruger was only in Edmonton for a year, right?
Yeah, it was half a year. Half a year. Like, it was the shortened season, 2012. And then Granato, nothing. Before.
Yeah, like, so they have, not that it really matters, we're going back 25 years, but they have not been, there's a lot of NHL coaches that come to mind as people who have bounced around the league a lot, and none of them has coached here.
It's interesting that, well, maybe it's not, it's probably, you know, just them being bad for 10 years, but none of them have gone on to second jobs, except for Lindy, who's had two more jobs since then.
Dallas Jersey.
I just looked. 14 coaches, current NHL head coaches in the NHL, had not coached another NHL team before.
14 out of 30.
14 out of 32.
14 out of 32, right?
Out of 32.
Vegas and Seattle.
So less than half of the coaches that are currently head coaches are like first times.
That's still higher than I would have guessed.
Well, even like some of them have been around. Like I counted Jared Bednar in that, even though he's been in Colorado for 6 years.
Yep.
And John Cooper. So like a lot of the recent hires.
Keith in Toronto.
Like there's a couple of guys that are new blood, but that's it. Like the Coyotes new guy, I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's French Canadian Turgny or whatever. He was like a assistant coach before
Chicago. Richardson.
Actually, Detroit. I forgot to put in my update. Derek Lalonde. Lalonde was a Lightning assistant. They just hired him today.
Detroit?
Yep. He had never coached in the NHL before. Toledo Walleye, but never the NHL.
Well, I mean, that's how you...
That's a stepping stone.
That's where you cut your teeth.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. That's where you cut... Where did you cut your teeth? Toledo Walleye. That's where I cut my teeth.
But even that, it's not like football usually where like teams will... They'll try stuff. Like they'll try the college coach. Or like the Cardinals will try on, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, who was being hired as an offensive coordinator in college football. Just like it feels like it's the same path.
That's right.
In the NHL,
is this what you're saying? I think in the NFL, quote, new blood is kind of the trend.
Right, and it's real new blood.
And where the heck is hockey? Like. Europe, you have European coaches, you have college coaches, you might even have distinguished juniors coaches. Like, just where is hockey's creativity? Right now, it's all on the ice. Yeah. Hockey is great on the ice, but man, I'm not saying these guys are like bad at it exactly, but geez, like why would a team feel so obligated to hire coaches that have basically just been middling? Coaches for as long as is humanly possible in the case of Rick Bowness, almost like just where does he stand out? You have an opportunity with a coaching change to really just home run. I mean, you have an opportunity to remake your hockey team in cool ways, but let's just sort of not drown. Let's have a guy who we can sell. And we believe it, apparently. You'd like to think they would believe it, that it's an authentic decision, that we can promote this. Now we have an experienced coach. They've had an experienced coach for like in Maurice, who was there for so long. Anyway, I'm not gonna talk about this all day. I wasn't planning on talking about it at all. I didn't know about it until I sat down in here. I've been out there. The studio has been in use the last 3 days as Nate and Joe and Zach have been hosting One Bills Live. That'll happen again on Tuesday, I think. That show is still off. So this is my office, sort of like unofficially. This is my office. I come in here and just prep and whatever else for the 2 hours or so before 3 o'clock. But that was not possible today or the last few days. So I'm out in the sales department, which is pretty much almost always empty. People are working from home. It's a different world. It got to the point, Joe, out there today. Now it's a holiday weekend in the summer. This is on July 1st in 2008, I bet. You know, if it were on a Friday, it would have been pretty quiet out there. But today it got to the point where the lights went out.
The lights went out? Like the motion sensors?
The motion sensors. I must have been so, inactive that the lights went out after 15 or 20 minutes, just like nobody walking around. So they didn't even know I was there. The lights didn't even know I was there.
Did you do the thing where you like waved your arms? Did you have to get up to get them to go back on?
I got up, I think. I should have tried that. That would have been interesting. July 1st is... There's a lot. Of course, Breer and Drury, I know that was talked about already today. Maybe quite a lot. I didn't have a radio out there. I wasn't listening, but maybe a lot. 15 years ago, somewhat significant anniversary. July 1st, always free agency in hockey. It's not this year. Maybe by next year they'll go back to it, but just still post-COVID, you know, the dates have been moved around a little bit, pushed back, and they're not all the way back on track yet. So that's a couple weeks out. I think maybe buyouts are available today. That might be what July 1st is in hockey now, but you know, all those free agent days or July 1st days, Ville Leino, you know, all those days. And it's not, it's not pretty. I mean, this date in Sabres history is not a pretty, sight. They have just not been interested or relevant, you know, on July 1st. When July 1st has mattered to Sabres fans and to the Sabres, mostly it's been because guys leave. And sometimes we don't mind, and sometimes it breaks our heart. Drury and Briere, who will forget it? You know, like, it's 15 years ago, but I remember where I was sitting when I heard about it. It was a Sunday. I'm quite sure it was a Sunday in 2007. And I remember sitting at my computer in my old house, seeing it on whatever, I don't think it was Twitter, but whatever internet thing I was looking at, that one and then the other had both left. And it was crushing. And I was here the next day. Bulldog wasn't, because this is like his vacation week. Today is his birthday. And he wasn't here. And I remember just like, it was all on fire with those guys leaving. And I just wanted to be positive about it. I just wanted to defend them. They had a lot of good players. And, you know, not surprisingly, fans sounded like, this is just a death knell to the whole thing at a time when the Sabres were our favorite thing in life. And I didn't want to be like that. I didn't feel that way. I felt like they would still be good. And they were okay. I mean, they were not bad. They did not go all the way to the bottom or anything, but it was never the same or even close. And you could say, I want to test this. I've said it before, but for years there, post July 1st, 2007, I would say, they've still not recovered. And could you still say that? Like, what would define recovered from 2007? It's really not how I'd want to put it, because it's just so long ago, and nobody from that scene, you know, is still here. Ownership, GM, all the players, everybody's gone. We have a few people in the front office. Most of the people I know from the front office over the years there are gone too, but not everybody.
The logo's gone. Everything.
Everything is just has been changed. So whether they've recovered or not, what are you trying to figure out? But with the fans in the standings, of course, they have not really recovered. Unless you say, well, they made the playoffs again 3 years later and, you know, it was all forgotten. I don't know how I want to define recovered. Like, do they have to make the semis or something to say that they've recovered from the trauma of those guys leaving?
I think I want it to be whatever a legitimate Stanley Cup contender would mean. And is that making the semis? Is that winning a couple rounds? I mean, you'd want to do it through the season. If they were an 8 seed and won 2 rounds and they got obliterated in the conference finals, would we call them that? Like, they could have won the cup. Like, it felt like they were there. Like, they were right there. And I would say recovered is feeling again like, okay, this could actually happen. And even when they made the playoffs those 2 years, it was, I don't know, I don't really remember how we felt about it when Miller won the Vezina. The year after, it was just like, this is awesome just to be here because we were like 20 points out and new owners and all that.
It felt like a beginning of a great new era, and it has been miserable, you know, in terms of the hockey at least. The real shame, not that you haven't read this or thought this 1,000 times in the last 15 years, or heard me say it, the real shame of it is that the Sabres had something magical and they acted like it didn't mean anything to them. They didn't recalibrate the value of their assets because of this spectacular popularity that they had. I don't know what the bottom line looked like financially, but that's what they cared about. They cared about the bottom line. And sometimes, you know, in life, I think this should apply to sports teams, there are special circumstances. And the Sabres had special circumstances in 2007. They had, I was fond of saying back then, the absolute coolest scene in professional sports with this town and that team. And they acted with their moves like they didn't know that, or they didn't care about it. You know, one of the two. They either didn't know it or they didn't care about it. And they didn't make any special exceptions for Daniel Briere. I was not as interested in Drury as Bulldog. I mean, I was more of a Briere guy, but, you know, both. The stories about both They acted like that was not relevant to them. And, you know, in a certain way, they haven't recovered because the fans have never cared like that since. They've had a couple of good teams. They've had a lot of bad ones. The fans have never loved them the same way as they did before this date 15 years ago, and probably a few days before that when we were all sort of assuming the worst. Because it was not shocking that those guys were going to leave. It was expected by the time we got to July 1, and they did. Paul Hamilton next will talk a little bit more about that, but not the whole thing because it's sad. It's depressing, and it's a holiday weekend in the summer. It's beautiful out. Also, Bulldog, unfortunately, will not be here for Adam Krautwurst, his favorite. He loves Adam so much, but I'm going to talk to Adam without him. And we're probably going to do a draft later. Joe and I will do a fantasy draft. We've got our big Scott Fishbowl event coming up at Big Ditch on July 14th, less than 2 weeks away. We hope that you'll join us there. Tickets are on sale. I'll give you information on that as we go today, and plenty of time.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Times until they sell out here in the next couple of weeks. Thanks for being with us. Mike Shope here, Sneaky Joe as well. Bulldog is off. Paul Hamilton next here on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton with Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, happy 4th of July weekend. Happy Canada Day. Happy birthday, Bulldog, who is not here. Someone tell him. Not that it's his birthday, I assume he knows that. But that we send our best. Right, Paul? We send our best?
Why are you and I working? Isn't Bulldog's birthday a national holiday?
In Canada. Only in Canada.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it should be a national holiday, and you know, but I guess it's not.
I guess it's not, yeah.
I missed him yesterday. I would have liked to have seen him rock out on stage, but I had a doubleheader softball game, so I couldn't make it. But I enjoy watching Bulldog when he gets a chance to perform.
I apologize for not knowing about it. I even made a joke with you that he doesn't do anything. But he absolutely did do something last night. Yeah. He was on stage.
Well, I absolutely would have been there had we been rained out or if it were another day. Thursdays in the summer really is the only thing I got anything going. It's softball day. But other than that, if it could have been any other day, I would have been there.
Joe, I think that means we won't see Paul at Big Ditch for the Fishbowl.
Oh.
It's a Thursday.
Wow.
With Thurman.
Uh-oh.
You're going to miss that. Well.
Yes.
We'll see. No, we won't. I was going to say, we'll see if we can move the date. I don't think we're going to move the date.
It's being streamed on Disney Plus, actually.
It's being
Paul
streamed.
Wants to watch it.
There, I'll get you the board. I'll get you a copy of the board when we're done.
Okay. Sounds good.
So let's just sort of go back to a couple things I was talking about at the beginning. One being, so Rick Bowness in Winnipeg. Paul,
yeah.
I nothing against him, right? But is the NHL not absurdly conservative when it comes to coaching hires? And what by that I mean, I think maybe, of course, people with coaching experience, everybody else almost need not apply.
I'm not going to lie to you, Mike. I actually said when I saw that, I go, is that a mistake?
Yeah.
I that was my reaction. It's like, why? I mean, you were pursuing Barry Trotz, and for whatever reason, that didn't work out. And you go from Barry Trotz to Rick Bowness? I'm almost speechless. I just don't get it. And there's been a lot of that. All right, Pete DeBoer doesn't have a job, so Dallas hires him. You know, I liked Montreal. At least they had a different idea when they brought in Martin St. Louis, who really didn't have much coaching experience. But, you know, Philadelphia, John Tortorella. Okay. You know, Vegas, Bruce Cassidy. Yeah. You know, it's just Paul Maurice in Florida. I mean, it's just so many. Now, Luke Richardson was a little bit different idea. Jim Montgomery, he was a good coach, but he had some personal issues that he needed to take care of. So, you know, I didn't mind in that case with Boston getting Jim Montgomery, maybe him getting another chance. But, yeah, Mike, I'm just looking up and down the list thinking why. You know, in some of these cases.
It has been a busy offseason for this, too. I mean, it's above average, I think, how many hirings there have been. And they're not even done. San Jose doesn't have a coach or a GM after last night. That was a weird one. Or was it the night before?
Right. And then Detroit still needs to get their coach. I saw they were talking about Mike Greer possibly becoming the GM in San Jose. I think Mike Greer would be an excellent GM. I remember when he was here as a player, I just enjoyed sitting there talking hockey with him. He just had such a great hockey mind and would come up and say things that I go, yeah, wow, I never thought of that. You know, and you know, when I read it, I go, yeah, what's taking so long? I think Mike Greer would be an excellent executive in the National Hockey League.
Got the leadership skills, too.
Mm-hmm.
His brother is a GM. Miami Dolphins.
That's right. I was trying to think what I knew NFL, and I couldn't remember what team.
Yeah, Miami Dolphins.
So, yeah, I mean, his brother, I'm sure, would have some ideas. Just kind of like, you know, Adams went to Bean. You know, the Greer brothers probably would have conversations on those types of things, too. Although, Beans had probably a little better success at what he's done than what Mike Greer's brother has done in Miami so far.
Derek Lalonde to Detroit, by the way. That was maybe yesterday or last night where that you were at softball. But he is off the Lightning bench. He is now the Red Wings coach. Tell me, this is a question I really couldn't answer too well. Tell me how coaches, the leading ways where coaches are different. So, okay, retreads, you know, general negativity toward the idea of retreads or guys who've just been around and around, like we're talking about. How are they different, Paul? What does a team, you know, just a team X, general team, what should they want? What should they be looking for? If it's right to criticize them for being too captivated by experience, you know, how should it work?
Well, I can use the Sabres as for an example. I mean, Don Granato didn't have a NHL track record as far as a coach, and they had to make a coaching move. There was just no question about it. They had to. And Don Granato's on the staff, and, you know, he met with Kevin Adams. Adams liked what he heard, so they went for him. Well, why is Don Granato a good idea? Because, you know, the things that he does with his players, Kruger would have been, was always, this is the way you play. This is the way you win. I don't care if you're an offensive player. I don't care what your strengths are. You better be good at doing what I want you to do. And just with trying to, you know, put a square peg in a round hole. And, you know, that it was just like, what are you doing? Well, that's totally opposite. I wonder sometimes, and he's never going to answer the question, but how did Don Granato wind up on Kruger's staff? Because they are just complete opposites in how they view hockey and how it should be played. And, you know, Granato shows up and it's like, okay, what does Dahlin do well? And what does Skinner do well? And what does Mittelstadt do well? And what does this player do well? And we're going to have them, we're going to push them towards their strengths for a common goal. I mean, we have a common goal in how we want things played, but we are going to push to their strengths, and that's how we're going to put together our systems and what we do. Well, look at how some of those players have flourished because they're not trying to do things they're not made to do. You know, remember under Kruger, Dahlin would bring the puck up and he always had to pass off. I mean, it's like he never carried the puck in, used his strengths, and it was always, all right, here we go, get the red line, he's got to drop it to somebody or pass it to somebody, and the other team knew that because guess what? They have coaches that actually scout the games, so they would cut that off, and it would turn into a disaster, and it never made any sense. Why are you using Rasmus Dahlin that way?
Yeah, I had blocked a lot of that out, but it's coming back to me now. How much, in terms of the NHL alone, Paul, how much variance is there in systems? So I want this, I've got three finalists for my coaching vacancy. I'm thinking about my players, you know, I'm the GM here, and I know, you know, largely, if not exactly, what everybody's skills are and what kind of, you know, like what you're just describing with Granato, who I want to get more out of and how I want them used. But in terms of systems, I just tend to look at hockey like there's not a lot of difference from one end of the spectrum to the other in how teams play. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that is true to a point. And, you know, all coaches are going to, hey, you're going to have to be good in your defensive zone, but you don't have to turn everybody into that's all they got to be. And what Granato talks about is, yes, we're going to be good in the defensive zone, but if we're doing things the way we want to do it, number one, we're not going to spend much time in the defensive zone because we're going to be moving and we're going to be getting the puck up ice and we're, you know, possession's going to be important to us when we get into the offensive zone. But, you know, a lot of it is playing in layers when you come back into the defensive zone. And what he tries to teach guys who are maybe offensive type players are, you know what? If you work as a group to get back and play in layers to get back, you're going to get the puck back quickly and you're going to be up ice and you're going to find that you're going to have more scoring chances by playing that way, by being sharp in your defensive zone. that you're going to be able to get up ice and play in the offensive zone, which is where you want to be anyway, because you are a 30-goal scorer. And that's not trying to turn somebody into a Selke Trophy winner. That's just how badly do you want the puck when you don't have it? How do you handle yourself when you don't have the puck? And what do you do to get it back? And, you know, as all coaches have defensive systems and all those types of things, but I think it's different tweaks that each one puts on in their system. And there's some, like, I remember Housley had them playing man-to-man in the defensive zone. Well, all they were doing was running around. It's like, Phil, what are you doing? You play defense in this league. Why are you having this group play man-to-man defense? It just turns into a schmozzle and the puck winds up in your net.
So you've got
that was a little bit different.
Sorry, Paul. So you've got like hockey tactics, of course, but then all, and I hope you're enjoying this conversation. I am enjoying listening to you talk here. You've got hockey tactics, but then I think you've also got the modern player, right? If I may, it's a different player than it was 20, 30 years ago, or even maybe 10. And there are things you need to probably to do it well. Ways where you would have to adapt if you're an older guy, like Bonus or one of these guys, that's Maurice, that's been around. He's not that old, actually. He's been around a long time. So, you know, how does that manifest? Like, what are some examples of how I think or how you think coaches need to be different these days than then?
Lindy Ruff is a good example of a coach that's evolved a little bit. You know, he used to be a guy that, you know, would try to intimidate and scream at Thomas Vanek and, you know, berate guys and all the rest of it. But then he realized that's not today's player anymore. You know, you can't sit there and beat on players. And he's talked about it, you know, and those types of things. And they're not going to respond to that like maybe they did back 10 years ago. I was going to say back in the day, but it's not even the day. It's not all that long ago. Thomas Vanek hasn't been out of hockey that long, you know, the way he did. So he understood he can't handle Jack Hughes that way. He can't handle the young players that he, you know, he's not going to get a response out of PK Subban if he starts, you know, ripping into him and that type of thing. There are different ways. Of course, you're going to be, you know, want discipline and that type of thing. But you've got to approach it differently. And I think if you're a coach that's been around a while and you're not willing to evolve to the way the game is and the way the players are now, let's face it, a lot of these players have been babied more than maybe when I was brought up or when you were brought up. It's just the way society is right now. And they can't take the constant criticism and screaming and yelling. They don't respond to it.
Right.
They basically tune it out. And if you get tuned out as a coach in the National Hockey League, you've got a problem. You're not going to be a coach very long. So, you know, I know Lindy Ruff has talked about it, how he has evolved through it. And he feels it's, you know, allowed him to be able now to still be a coach now.
With Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline, I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off. It's his birthday. He'll be off next week, too. Happy Canada Day and also 4th of July weekend. So, Paul, I was going to say moving on, but really I'm moving back 15 years. Another thing that's come up already, been talked about on the station, July 1st. It's not just 2007 and Chris Drury and Daniel Briere leaving. It's really, this is not a pretty day in Sabres history overall. I mean, they have not been very successful in free agency. There were times when they didn't really even partake. And we have some lingering bad memories of players leaving. No worse memories than that day in 2007.
Yeah, and a lot of the signings haven't been great. But, yeah, it should. I mean, it's been talked about and talked about and talked about. But to me, this all started that day. You know, when Briere and Drury walked out the door together, it wasn't this bad right away. But this is when it started. You know, and you know, it wasn't a downhill climb right away. I mean, the Sabres did make the playoffs after that, but that's when the franchise started to go downhill, and it's been they've never recovered from it. And how do you not recover by now? You know, yeah, all right, it happened, and it really set the franchise back. But here you're sitting now in 2022, and you still haven't recovered from it, or you're just maybe starting to recover from it now, and it's taken this long, and it, Yeah, I can't think of any other event in franchise history that is, I never, ever would have thought, you know, 11 years ago, that I would be looking at my last playoff series, you know, so far. Now, I don't mean last ever, but that's the last one I've been at. I would have bet you anything that there was no way that was going to happen, and here we are.
Yeah, they haven't won a round either since before July 1st of 2007. It's the last time they won a single playoff round. Every fan knows all about that, and I really don't mean to be regurgitating it, but July 1st, like, you've been strong and consistent forever on July 1st, really. You know, like, mm-hmm. just, it can be stupid money, money spent stupidly, and teams may even know that when they spend on free agency. By the way, it's not today. This year, it's in a couple weeks.
July 13th.
But it has often been, usually through the years, July 1st. And so, you know, I want to sort of recognize that too, Paul, because while the Sabres are not, to say the least, famous for great free agent signings, you know, they've also stayed out of it. And to some extent, that's been wise.
I think so. I mean, look at Colorado. They didn't build their team on getting the best free agent available. They got some free agents, but they were free agents to fill in their team with. You know, they didn't go out and get the best free agent because Joe Sakic didn't believe in that's the way you build your team. You know, he did it through good drafting. He did it through good trades and then using free agency, sometimes day two of free agency, to get those types of players that can kill penalties or whatever roles that you think you need to fill in on your team. But they didn't go out and make a big splash in free agency and look for a Johnny Gaudreau or somebody like that. And, you know how this is a copycat league, so it might be tougher for some of the free agents now that teams might finally I don't know, I'm saying this, but I don't really believe it. You know, if they say to themselves, it's stupid time. Why should we sit there and sign some guy to a contract that in 3 years or 4 years we're going to regret? And if you win a Stanley Cup within those 3 years and the player is helpful in that, that's different. But if you haven't won a Stanley Cup and maybe you got some good years out of them, but, you know, John Tavares gave Toronto some good years, but I don't know, right now, it's not, I don't know, I don't think it's worth what they paid for it. You know, when they wound up getting him at the time, yes, maybe. But there's just so few. Hossa is the one that I can remember that was a good free agent signing. And
which time? Chicago?
Yeah, you've got Chicago. But I think, what was Detroit the other one?
I'm not even sure.
The other
but
team?
I know
yeah, but you know, he was good with Detroit. He was good with Chicago. That's one where I'd say, yeah. That was a good one, but there are not too many.
It was also dirty, Hossa, right? Like with those, you know, the way it played out with how the contract was structured, and then he ended up just sort of, because Chicago was not supposed to have room for him.
Right.
And then, I don't remember exactly right now, but it was kind of sneaky. Joe would have liked it.
Well, that's like that's what the NHL teams do. We have rules, and now let's figure out how we can get around these rules.
So for the Sabres this year in terms of free agency, they could probably do almost anything they want, but they're not going to do a lot. I mean, they want to be smart here and maybe surgical. So, you know,
Kevin Adams talked about this, and he's right. I agree with him. Right now, they're not going to be sitting at the salary cap floor forever because they are for now maybe a couple of years, but that what if Tage Thompson remains a 35 to 40 goal scorer? Well, he's going to be, if he's a 40-goal scorer, he's going to be looking at around $8 to $10 million. You know, when his contract's up, Dahlin isn't going to be having a $6 million salary cap next time through. Power, if he continues, you know, if he goes on what we think he can, he's going to be a big-ticket item. You know, who knows where Krebs and Cousins and those guys are going to go, but they could too, so that's what Adams has said all along. They're looking to develop their players, and those are the players that they want to pay. You know, when they develop into what they feel those guys can develop in. So, mm-hmm. you know, even a guy like Olofsson, that's why right now they shouldn't and are not worried about getting to the floor because Olofsson, you figure, what, five and a half, somewhere in there if he goes to arbitration you know, that eats up almost half of what you got to get to, and you still got to sign some other players along the way. So getting to the floor right now, so that's why, you know, he doesn't want to, like we talked about a goaltender. He is not. He came right out. He's not going to spend 5-6 years on a goaltender. That's not, you know, he basically, I said 2 or 3 years, and he kind of coughed at that. I think he'd be comfortable with. That's the impression I got talking with him, you know, in our interview. I don't know if he quite would want to go to 3 years on a goaltender, but that's what they're looking at. So, you know, he's got to think ahead too. All right, where's our salary cap going to be 3 or 4 years from now? And could I fit in a Johnny Gaudreau contract, you know, to go along with that? You still got Skinner's deal that's 8 years that was signed in 2019. You know, that's not going anywhere. So, you know, yeah, you've got a lot of space now, but it's not going to be forever type of a thing with some of the players, the way they feel these players are going to develop.
Just back to the beginning for a second, Rick Bowness hired by Winnipeg, and Joe dug up that he was Winnipeg's coach 33 years ago. So it was 33 years between stints. He's been in the league all that time. And Ted Seder, Paul, was the Sabres coach 33 years ago, 1989.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was starting to do math in my head. When you, I was like, all right, who was the Sabres 33 years ago?
So Ted Seder. Do you happen to know where he went, like after Buffalo? Or was he in the league for a while after that? Maybe the Rangers, or that could have been earlier. But I haven't heard his name in a long time.
No, he wasn't one of those guys that, you know, was hanging around in the NHL for a long period of time. Actually, I look at him now. I mean, he's 72 years old now. That's how long it's been as far as he goes. And
which would have made him a fairly young coach here.
Yeah, he was never a head coach in the NHL again. When he left the Sabres, he was an assistant with the Bruins and the Blues and the Whalers. The Blues and Whalers for 1 year, and then he was a head coach in the East Coast League. So he didn't get a head coaching job again until he coached in the East Coast League for the New Orleans Brass for 5 years. And then he went over as a head coach in Austria for 1 year. Please. And then 2009, that was it for him.
Please tell me you're like looking at that, and that's not just like this.
Oh, you know me. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Okay. I have to depend on you for things like this.
I'm looking
you know
at
that.
It too. No.
You know that, so no, absolutely, I'm looking at it.
Head coach from 2009 to 11 of the Hungarian national ice hockey team, Ted Seder.
Yep.
Kind of like Ted Nolan with Latvia.
Or Craig Ramsey, who I believe is currently the coach of Slovakia.
Or Václav Varada, right? And Miro.
Miro doesn't surprise me. Václav Varada does. I didn't have him pegged as a coach. I didn't. And from what I understand, he's a pretty good coach.
I wonder if he would have said, if he would say, like, I never expected to do this. I wonder if he would say that.
I don't know. But no, that wasn't one. I should ask Rob about that because Rob knew him pretty well. But if he anticipated that he would be a coach at some point.
Paul, it's been a pleasure these last couple days. Enjoy your holiday weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Yes, you too. The draft's coming up next week. Looking forward to it.
Right. Me too. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. NHL draft is Thursday and Friday next week. His appearance on WGR Today brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Adam Krautwurst coming up next. A lot of fantasy football the next couple hours. Tell you again about that event at Big Ditch July 14th. All for the Thurman Thomas Family Foundation, Buffalo Urban League. Big fundraising effort we're making. Joe will be there. I'll be there. Adam Krautwurst will be there. He's playing in League 2. Joe, you're in League 1 with me, and Adam is in League 2.
Right.
He and I each have the fourth pick. That seems like that should be a question for him. I'll ask the question. And what are you going to do it for? That seems like it's something I should ask him. Adam is with Draft Sharks, and he and I co-host a podcast called The Deep End that Draft Sharks puts on twice a week in the evening. Mike Schopier, Bulldog, is off. Happy holiday weekend. Back with Adam and Joe after this here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.